Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman, starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. If ever there's a moment in your life when you have cause to feel utter consternation and alarm, it is when you know some part of your personal property is going to be subjected to the eagle-eyed scrutiny of an expert. One thing is certain, no matter what it is, it'll be inspected and found wanting. Like the time you decide to sell your car. After 3 days of back-breaking polishing and ingenious concealment of the major faults, the dealer arrives. After a quick walk round, he's spotted four clapped-out parts which can't be replaced because they don't make spares for your model anymore, discovered all the faults you so cunningly covered up, poked his finger through the rust at the bottom of the door, and finally promised not to report that your road tax license is out of date on condition that you pay him a fiver to tow the disintegrating heap of rusty junk away. But this soul-destroying experience is nothing compared with the utter misery of a ship's inspection in the Navy. Particularly if your ship happens to be Troutbridge and the inspection is being carried out by the Admiral.
Shades of Plymouth Hoe. Pervy, look at the state of this deck. Hasn't been painted since Moby Dick was a tadpole.
Well, gentlemen, you heard the Admiral. What's your explanation?
Just fair wear and tear, actually, sir.
Fair wear and tear? This deck was repainted less than a month ago. Look at it now. It's down to the bare metal.
I know, sir, but we walk about a lot.
What about the blasted bulkheads?
Have you all been marching up and down those as well?
Well, now, only in incredibly rough weather, sir. Yeah, well, you know, when we're battling against astronomically high seas.
Oh, come off it. The paintwork looks as if someone's been playing noughts and crosses on it with a marlin spike.
It was my ballpoint pen, actually, sir. It was running out of ink, and I pressed too hard.
Will you be quiet, the pair of you?
And you can shut your cake hole as well, Povey. Right, number one, which bit of this floating dust cart am I supposed to gawp at next, huh?
May I suggest the CPO's mess, sir?
Right, well, if that's where you want me to look, I'll look somewhere else. Now, what's in here?
That's the stores locker, sir.
I'd already twigged at you, clown. It's got it painted on the door. I want to know what's in there.
Yes, of course, sir. All right, chief, open it up.
If it's all the same to you, sir, and it isn't to me, I'd rather not, sir.
Don't argue, chief.
Apart from which, it's locked.
Yeah, but it isn't. I mean, the only thing holding it is this bolt.
Yeah, very possibly, sir, but that bolt is rusted in, sir. Painted over, immovable, and can't be repaired until tomorrow.
You know your trouble, Chief. You're just not mechanically minded. Look, it slides as easy as anything. You just pull it back like this.
Flying mutt since some idiot dropped a signal rocket in me dustbin.
Ooh, nasty.
Chief, don't think I'm being an old nosy Parker, but where did that hideous heap of horrible come from?
The chief petty officer's mess, sir.
Yes, we can see the empties. Where did the rest of that ghastly gash come from?
Well, I'd rather not say, sir, but if you insist... It was acquired hither and thither, yonder and nigh, around and about. Oh,
well, really, I can't take any more of this.
Neither can I. There's a half-eaten tin of something under there that's turned a bit powerful.
Shall we go, sir?
I will, but you won't, Povey. You can stay here and sort this lot out. I'll come back and inspect this ship again when you've had it certified fit for human consumption.
Gangway, Admiral coming through.
Are you all right, sir?
No, I'm not.
I bent me sore.
Oh.
Can I straighten it out for you, sir?
Not to worry. I'll shove it in me trousers press. And the wife can weld a hand along when she gets home from work. Oh, cheer by. Oh, do get out of my way. Some of you are open.
Right. Oh, well. That's it, then. Well, if you excuse me, gents, I have one or two things to do.
Stay where you are, Pertwee. Stay where you are.
Oh.
Yes, Chief. Fancy trying to slope off and leaving all that mess on the deck. I want it all cleared up by the time I get back from my urgent appointment.
And you, Mr. Phillips. And you.
Oh.
I suppose there's no chance that I could wriggle out of it?
None at all, number one. None at all.
Excuse me, sir. Why do you keep saying everything twice?
In the profound hope, Mr. Phillips, that it will penetrate both your ears.
Well, in that case, you ought to say it six times. You can work it out for yourself. There are three of us here. We've got two ears each. And three times two are, let me see now. Twice one is two, twice two's a four, and twice three...
Don't you shut up!
Would you mind saying it for the other ear now?
Captain Povey, you'll have to excuse him, sir. Being the navigation officer, he often comes over all mathematical. He likes doing sums.
Does he? Then I'm going to set him a little problem, and you can all help to work it up. Now, how long will it take the crew of this ship to convert her from a rust-covered, rot-ridden, rubbish-filled floating eyesore into a properly painted, polished, and maintained frigate, which the Admiral can inspect without turning seven shades of shocking pink?
Ah, well, that's a bit tricky, sir. You see, if X equals our complement of 14 officers and 175 ratings, and Y equals our only dustpan and brush, and given the following wind when we dump all this rubbish over the side,
the answer is £3.09. You know, Pertwee's been done out of it.
£3.09? How did you get that?
Well, there's threepence back on every one of those empty bottles, sir.
There's also one other slight miscalculation. We're not permitted to discharge refuse whilst in harbour.
Oh, congratulations, number one. At least one official order seems to have got through. Now, I am going to issue another one that I have just made up. I had a feeling you might. You will take your ship out of harbour, out to sea, out of sight, and if possible, out of my life.
Oh, shall we be gone long?
Forever, if I had my way. But you will certainly stay there until you've cleaned up your ship, until you receive further orders. Good day.
And you, sir. Nice to have you aboard.
Catch a bearers! Over there with the ambulance, lads. Captain Blaw has done himself a discourteous.
It's a pity, you know. I think we've upset him.
£244 £246 And finally, the last and best remembered brown ale bottle of them all. Number 247. Castle flags. £3.19 of Pertwee's perks have just gone sailing down the sonar.
Pretty sight, isn't it, Chief? It's not every ship that's privileged to have half a mile of bobbin brown ale bottles strung out behind them.
A threepence ago, no.
So now, if you finish chucking your unearned income down the drain, I'll get back to my duties.
Just what duties has a starboard lookout got when we're lying at anchor 3 miles offshore?
Admiring the view, of course. Not that there's much to admire about this one, mind. Now, if we'd been anchored off Cardiff, that would be different. There's a glorious Welsh vista for you. On a clear day, you can even see Anne Morpeth shopping in the high street. Never at the shopping, she is, you know. Proper bargain hunter. She'll never buy oranges, 5 for a shilling, you know. Beats them down, she does. 10 for half a crown. It's bulk buying, you see. Clever, isn't it?
I see you finished unpacking.
Not quite, Mr. Phillips. Sir, there's still one other item to go over the side.
What's that?
Pertwee's little sailor suit. I'm turning the job in. The perks aren't what they used to was.
You can't do that.
And there's one other thing I'd like to have bung over the side so if I could get my hands on it.
What?
Captain Povey's little sailor suit with him in it.
Aye, proper tyrant he is. But then he's English, you see, so he can't help it. They're all the same. I mean, I ask you, who else but an Englishman would have left us 3 miles out to sea just to gawp at a dreary lump of Portsmouth, trying to break up the home life of the Welsh you are, so we don't get a chance to build up a population big enough to invade you?
I don't want to.
I do, sir. Next time I cross the border on my 48-hour pass, I'm staying there, see? Diplomatic immunity is what I'll claim. And there's no extradition treaty with the Republic of Wales. So you've had that.
Goldstein, this may be a bit of a shock to you, but Wales isn't a republic.
And whose fault is that? The English oppressors, of course. But give us time, boy, give us time. The writing's on the wall in the Rhondda. And it's written in Welsh, too.
Look, why don't you belt up, you babbling old bard?
Well, there you are, you two. We just had orders to get underway.
Stun me! Old Thundergus has put a light in the window for us at last. Come in, Chauncey! All is forgiven.
Cheers.
Well, back to Pompey. 2 minutes shifted, our sparkling brass and shiny superstructure. A pat on the head and good boys all round, then falling short partly and hee hoo for the popple's head and who's paying for Pertwee's pines.
Nobody yet a while, I'm afraid, Chief. Captain Pertwee's found a little job for us. On our way back to Portsmouth, we have to call in at Ryde on the Isle of Wight to pick up a passenger.
Oh, aye, aye, sir. As soon as you like, sir.
And who, sir, is this passenger that we have to pick up, if I may ask?
Well, if you must... No. I mean, according to Captain Povey's signal, it's a second officer, MacLuthy.
Second officer? Second officer? He was second officer's a merchant navy rank, sir.
Is it really?
Yes, Mr. Phillips, it is. But don't worry about it. You can start learning merchant navy ranks when you've finally learnt all the ranks in the Royal Navy.
How unkind.
I know what 3 gold rings on my sleeve would mean.
What?
It's not my jacket.
True. And you can stop huffing and puffing too, Pertwee. It's the ship that's supposed to have steam up, not you.
Now look, how can you remain so calm in the face of the indignity of it all, sir? HMS Trafford, the pride of the fleet, being used as a passenger vehicle for a common outlaw of the merchant marine.
We'll
never let it down, sir. Never let it down. Whenever we sail from here to Hong Kong, the same signal will flash up at us from every ship in the port. Taxi!
Oh, nonsense. Stop arguing.
I would if I were you, Chief. You're not getting anywhere.
Neither are you, Mr. Phillips. So will you both get up on the bridge and get us underway?
Now then, let's see. Wet your finger and hold it high aloft, and you'll find out if the wind is hard or soft.
Look, Mr. Phillips, sir, please.
Force 4, and coming up from the blunt end. Now, where are my charts?
Mr. Phillips, in case you hadn't noticed...
No, not now, sir, please. I'm having a bit of a navigate.
Mr. Phillips, sir. Mr. Phillips, sir, please. Look, sir, straight ahead, sir.
What?
The Isle of Wight ferry, sir. She's dead ahead.
Lummy, so she is. Pretty sight, isn't she?
Not right on our part, she isn't. Do something.
Oh, don't panic, sir. Don't panic. She's bound to alter course. We've got the right of way. On the other hand, perhaps we haven't.
You silly lot of fat ass, you know nothing, Quince! Look what you've done! You bent my ferry boat! From stem to storm!
Good morning, Mr. Ferry Boatman. Lovely day!
Lovely day? You can take your weather report and...
Would you mind rehooting that? I didn't quite hear what you said.
Lucky old you. You won't miss it next time. By the look of him, I think he's going to bring his message personally.
In which case, sir, could we have full ahead both to ride and let's... off out of it ourselves?
Yes, you could be right. Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit it is, sir.
What about my ferry boat?
Shove it in the utmost trouser press! Hurry along! Come along there, please. Hurry up the gangplank, please. No jump in the queue if you don't mind, ladies and gents. Plenty of room for all. Have your half crowns at the ready in your hot little hands.
Half a crown, did you say?
That's right, Colonel. 2 silver shillings and 6 copper coins of the realm.
I must say that's much cheaper than the normal fare.
All part of the silent service, sir. We supply the service, and you keep silent about it.
Who saw it in order for a naval frigate to act as a ferry boat?
No, sir. That's the bit I want you to keep silent about. All right, next, please.
All right, the chief, then.
Yes, but... you would have a 14, aren't you?
I'm over 38 where it matters, sailor. Alfie, stop fiddling. Take your hands off. Now, is it half past for kids?
Eh? Oh, yes, madam. Missus.
Miss, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't mind if you don't.
Oh, he's not mine. I'm minding him for my friend.
Congratulations.
Here! Alfie Murdoch! What?
Alfie, how many more times? The name is Fenella. He do get his arties mixed up, you see. I'm Fenella Starr. I'm a model.
That I never doubted.
She poses for photographs in the
magazines.
I never doubted that either. Next, please.
To the Portsmouth, please, Chief.
Certainly, sir. Fine, Bob. Let me know. Yeah. Oh, where did you come from, Mr. Murray, sir?
We've been trying to get on board our own ship, actually. We had the queue.
Well, I've been doing a rolling. Well, I looked at it this way, sir. As soon as we can't have a ferry boat, the least we could do is act as a substitute.
Well, at half a crown a time.
Yeah. No. Now, merely covering running costs, sir. I mean, standing off here with our meter ticking over whilst we're waiting for this perishing merchant navy secondary officer is costing the rollicking lordships a bomb.
Excuse me, gentlemen, but would you by any chance be able to give me a lift to Portsmouth? And it's supposed to be at the dockyard by 2:00.
Yes, certainly, madam. 2 and 6 single, or 10 bob cheap day return. Because we're not coming back.
Chief, where's your esprit de corps? Can't you see this lady is a wren? I mean, surely she can travel half price. I mean, she is in the Navy, too.
Yeah, that makes it worse, sir. It's the Navy what owes Pertwee £3.19. And Pertwee's got to get it back. At half a crown a time with no exceptions.
Yeah, but she's a wren lieutenant. No. This lady is a second officer. And as a fellow Scot, I'd say her name could be McLookie.
Aye, lieutenant, it is.
Now, isn't that odd? Have you got a brother in the Merchant Navy? We're waiting for him.
He still hasn't got it, has he, sir?
No, but let's face it, he never does.
Mr. Phillips, sir, some of the ranks in the Merchant Navy are the same as the ranks in the Wrens. Particularly the rank of second officer, sir.
Oh, I see. You mean she's not in the Wrens at all? She's in the Merchant Navy.
Sub-Lieutenant, do I look like a merchant seaman?
Look, don't fight it, miss. You'll have to learn to live with him.
I have to do what?
An unfortunate turn of phrase, I'll admit, ma'am. My apologies all round, and here's your half a crown back.
You, ticket collector, do you see my Alfie? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you was busy. I say, who's he, the driver?
If you're referring to me, madam, I am the first lieutenant.
Cool. Where did this one come from? And who cares? It's here. Take courage, my dear. If nobody else wants to look for your Alfie, I will.
Oh, thanks.
Not at all. If we can't find Alfie... I'm not doing anything this evening.
Or any other evening, probably.
Who talked?
Lay off, sailor girl. I saw him first, and I'm a model, you know.
That we never doubted for a minute.
I say, a model. Do you ever, do you ever pose in the,
magazines, yes. We never doubted that, either.
Mind you, I'm not always going to be a model. I'm going to be an actress.
Now, there's a novelty. Still, I must admit, the moment I saw you, I thought, there's a girl who'll get a reputation.
Oh, tar, very much. As a matter of fact, it's top secret at the moment, but my agent, Mr. Ginsburg, is hoping to get me the lead in Fanny Hill on Ice.
Funny Myrtle! Look what I
have! Take your hands off and come here. And how many more times? It's not Myrtle. It's Fenella. Fenella Starr.
It's always been Myrtle Duckworth back home.
Well, you ain't at home now, but heaven help you when I get you there. Hey, come back here, you little horror. Boy, this is going to be the last time I do your mum a favour.
Stone me. Stone me! Myrtle Duckworth. Hey! Oh, that ought to look good up in lights.
Thank you, Chief. I think we all have the same mental picture of that electrical fall. Now, we really must put to sea and get back to Portsmouth.
Well, thank goodness for that. The chief officer will think I'm not coming and I'm supposed to take up a new appointment today.
Really? I say, does that mean I may be seeing something of you?
I doubt that. But you'll certainly be hearing from me. I'm to be in charge of the communication section.
Oh, well done. You can communicate with me at any time.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, dear? yes, sir?
Up on the bridge.
Oh, don't be spoiled, boy, sir. What's the rush?
You remember, sir, Captain Povey and the Admiral are waiting to inspect us again.
In Portsmouth.
In 35 minutes' time.
And it's a good 5 miles.
And with your navigation,
we'll never do it.
35 minutes? I'll never do it. Gangway, officer coming through. Left hand down a bit and pull airboats. I think I'm going to drop one.
All right, Povey, where is it? You dragged me down to the dockyard halfway through me after lunch port to look at some blasted ship that's not even here yet. Ah, here she comes now, sir. Oh, Lord, it's Troutbridge, isn't it?
Yes, if you recall, sir, you weren't satisfied with your first inspection.
All right, well, call her in and I'll take another look.
I don't think we need to, sir. She's almost on top of us now. Look out, sir! Run, sir! Run! Everybody down!
Sorry, pardon, sir. And ship ready for inspection.
Good man. Right, well, come along, Povey. Jump back over that wall and let's get aboard.
I only stood back to take notes.
Oh, do shut up. Right, Admiral coming through. Hey, wait a minute. Who are all those idiots in civvies streaming down the after gangway? Deserters?
No, sir. They are the passengers we brought back.
Oh, fair enough.
Now, where the blazes is that idiot Povey?
I'm right beside you, Admiral.
Oh, do stop arguing, Povey. Galloping gangplank. What on earth have you got stuck all over your boots?
Well, I have the face the same as you have, sir. Dozens of toffee papers.
Suffering stick jaw. I look as if I'm walking about in cheap wallpaper. What's this other muck all over the deck?
It's mostly cigarette ends and old crisp bags, actually, sir. Our passengers dropped them.
Passengers? What passengers?
They're from the Isle of Wight, sir. We picked them up off Ryde Pier.
Ryde? What the blazes were you doing over there?
Obeying Captain Povey's orders, sir.
Well, of course, they were yours, really, Admiral. I've got the signal here, sir. It says, arrange transport pierhead for Second Officer McLuty traveling from Ryde, Isle of Wight at 1300 hours.
Great Hawkins sea boots. Povey, can't you read? It's as plain as a pikestaff. That means you're to send a jeep to Portsmouth Pierhead. Not this blasted frigate to the Isle of Wight and back.
Oh, good grief. Yes, leave it with me, sir. I'll send a jeep right away.
What now, you clown? This McLuty woman must be here already.
Oh, she is, actually, sir. We brought her over.
Oh, good show. Now, that's what I like to see. Initiative. Better we don't get more of it than some senior officers.
Oh, now, really, sir.
Alfie, where are you, Alf? Oh, hello. Have any of you not seen my Alfie?
Blister me bulwarks, is this her, huh? I say, we're getting a different sort of officer in the Wrens these days, aren't we?
Oh, I'm not a Wren. I'm a model.
That, madam, I never doubted for a minute. Do you pose for magazines?
Oh, only in the...
glossy ones.
And if you're looking for Alfie, he's over there.
Oh, yes. Alfie, take your hands off and come here.
Coming, Archie Mando!
Now, will you remember? Selina!
My word, who could forget her? That's it then, Povey. Ship's inspection over.
Oh, but sir...
Oh, do stop waffling, Povey. If I run, I can catch her up. You, madam. These two, Admiral's escort coming alongside. Hoist your storm cone.
Right, sir. Follow me, Lieutenant Murray. Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, I want a word with you two in my office.
I had a feeling you would somehow.
Yes. This way, gentlemen. This...
I, if you must, I, sir.
Chief. Captain Powys waiting, sir.
Yeah, quite. So hurry up and hand it over.
Yes, I...
The fare money. £3, whatever it was that you collected from the passengers, of course.
Oh, you can't mean it, sir.
Oh, I can. The cash, please. All of it. I'm going to donate it to the Disabled Ferry Boat Fund. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chief.
Lovely day.
Lovely day?
Oh, give him lovely day.
Hello, Chiefy.
What do you want, you Carnarvon clot?
Oh, well, if that's the attitude, I shan't tell you about them.
Let them sink, I think.
Yes, I do all. I've had all I could. Here, Gostin, come out here. Come here. Hmm? What do you mean? Let what sink?
Your ill-gotten gains, of course. I'm surprised you haven't seen them for yourself. Look over there at the harbour entrance. Sailing in line astern as proud as any armada.
Aye? What? Wait. It's them. Hey, me empties. Oh, look, me bunny brown bottles have been following John's the home. Keep bobbing, lads. Come to daddy. Come along. Chink, chink, chink. Threatens the time. Lower the seabank, lads. Purvey's going fishing to collect £3.1 and ninepence.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been cleaning up the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Second Officer McLuty was Heather Chasen, Kathy Goldstein was Tenniel Evans, Alfie, Michael Bates, and Myrtle, or Penella, was played by Amanda Murray. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.